This is the Georgia Forestry Forum, the podcast that explores the rich and renewable resource that are our trees and forests, and the innumerable benefits that we humans get from them every day. Expect this podcast to cover topics that affect you. We want to share how trees impact every part of your life, from the air you breathe and the water you drink to your energy bills, the products you depend on, and the good health and good times your family enjoys. And we'll tell you how our folks at the Georgia Forestry Commission help to support it all. Welcome to the latest episode of the Georgia Forestry Forum podcast from the Georgia Forestry Commission. My name is Seth Hawkins. I work with the Urban and Community Forestry Program with GFC, and I'm joined today by Mary Lynn Beckley with the Georgia Tree Council, Executive Director and strong partner of the Georgia Forestry Commission. Hey, Mary Lynn, how are you?
Hey, Seth, I'm good. Thanks for inviting me to be here with you today.
For sure. Super excited to talk about the topic today. Obviously, you know, our Georgia Forestry Forum podcasts are going to cover a range of forestry-related topics throughout the year, but this one in particular might be my favorite, just going ahead and going into the conversation. Again, run the Urban Forestry Program, and I live and breathe tree planting and Arbor Day every year.
Absolutely. And Georgia is lucky because our Arbor Day is the third Friday each February. It's February 16th this year, and that's really close to Valentine's Day, and that's perfect because we love trees, don't we?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I call February Arbor Day month because communities in Georgia celebrate Arbor Day many different times of the year. We designated the third Friday in February in Georgia because our planting season for trees ends a little earlier than the rest of the country, and that's kind of normal in the Southeast. Florida has a January Arbor Day, in fact. But we tell communities, you know, pretty much celebrate Arbor Day any day of the year that works for that community. This just happens to be the official holiday on the calendar. Arbor Day month for me does encompass Valentine's Day, which is always great because, as you mentioned, we love trees. Mm-hmm. Nothing easier than planting a red bud for someone you love with that nice heart-shaped leaf on there. And again, nice low cost gift, because if you come to one of your community Arbor Days at Georgia Forestry Commission's there, you'll probably go home with some free seedlings.
Absolutely. So. And that Valentine's Day gift, if it's well tended for, it will last a long, long time. For those who are listening and don't know how Arbor Day got started nationally, Arbor Day started out in Nebraska back in late 1800s, 1872 or so. J. Sterling Morgan was a newspaper man, and he saw, along with other people, that Nebraska needed more trees. And so he had the great idea of starting Arbor Day, and they planted tons of trees across Nebraska.
He moved from New Jersey to Nebraska.
Did he really?
And a lot less trees in that part of the world. So he started thinking, well, we're not going to have those big contiguous forests like we maybe have on the eastern seaboard in Nebraska as much, but we can definitely have healthy, vibrant community forests, and we can plant supplemental trees.
It caught on. Other states, as you were talking about, have Arbor Day. And so it is a wonderful holiday. So we thank Mr. Morton for starting that, because we look forward to celebrating it each year.
Yeah, and Georgia officially adopted Arbor Day as a state holiday in 1890, actually. So there is a 130-some-odd-year tradition now of planting trees in Georgia, and I know it's been a big part of people's lives back in elementary school. Planting trees on Arbor Day was a big deal. You know, on Georgia Arbor Day week, you find a GFC person, if they're not out plowing fire breaks, doing prescribed burning, or checking on someone's timber, odds are they're in an Arbor Day event somewhere in the state.
If you don't mind, I'll jump right in and talk about the state Arbor Day event and what's coming up. So on February the 20th, the Georgia Tree Council and the Georgia Forestry Commission are presenting our first quarter educational program and the State Arbor Day event. We're hosted by the lovely city of Madison, Georgia. They're rolling out the red carpet for us. They are such a good friend and member of the council and do such great work with trees in their own community. But we will have an educational program from 10 to 2 on February 20th. We're going to be talking about tree equity and bringing the benefits of a healthy tree canopy to everyone. And we'll talk about Georgia Relief Grants and the Trees Across Georgia grants that we're distributing this year. And so that's the very first Georgia Arbor Day event that we'll be participating in. But there's lots of others going on around the state.
I think, you know, it's important to understand just the importance of Arbor Day to the whole community as well. So me, again, as an arborist and urban forester, of course, I'm all in on Arbor Day. But maybe the average person that just stumbles up on an Arbor Day in their city park this weekend, you know, maybe they had no idea what was going on, but maybe they'll walk away not only learning something about taking care of the trees in their yard, but also just understanding that it's a shared goal, a shared importance of having a nice, healthy community forest.
It's such a wonderful community building activity for folks in a community to get together and take care of trees or take care of the land around trees. You know, because we do the Georgia Relief Grants and you all do the Trees Across Georgia Grants, we know about a lot of Arbor Day events across the state. Some of the Georgia Relief funding, for example, is going toward tree giveaway events or tree planting events across the state in conjunction with Georgia's Arbor Day. But I was curious, you know, what else is going on out there? So I Googled Georgia Arbor Day events and there were tons of them. And so I would encourage anybody that if you're interested in getting involved with trees in your community, just Google your community, your neighborhood, and see not only what's going on during this month for Georgia's Arbor Day, but around the year.
You know, and it's not just communities large and small. I mean, we have Arbor Days that'll have five people. We have Arbor Days that'll have 305 people. I've seen them all different sizes, shapes, forms. But Arbor Day celebrations actually go all the way up to Governor Kemp's office as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I know later this week, Mary Lynn, both of us will have the privilege of meeting with Governor Kemp. He will read and sign the state Arbor Day proclamation. Just really just reinforcing the sense of importance that our entire state's leadership feels about keeping Georgia such a forested state. I mean, we're very lucky. Two-thirds of our state's forested, so it's real easy sometimes to take it for granted and be like, well, there's plenty of trees. Next time you see any empty pocket, there could be a tree there. More times than not.
Right. I want to do a shout out, if I can right now, to the Georgia Tree Council in our partnership with the Georgia Forestry Commission. The Georgia Tree Council is the statewide urban forest nonprofit. We were established in 1988, so we're 36 years old now. The members of our organization include everybody from the Forestry Commission to other nonprofits to city arborists, also city planners, administrators, volunteer tree boards, even individuals who just want to be a part of all the educational opportunities and resource opportunities that we offer for their community. These are the people that are keeping trees part of the growth of their communities. We're aware of all the development that continues to happen. We try to make sure that a lot of the city decision makers know that trees need to be a part of that growth. A community is more vibrant and more healthy with trees. Seth, if you don't mind, I will put in a plug for the funding that the Forestry Commission has passed down to the Georgia Tree Council for planting trees and extending resources in urban forestry to communities that need more tree canopy. You know, the idea of tree equity is that every neighborhood and every community everywhere reaps those benefits of a healthy tree canopy. We're grateful for this partnership that we have with the Georgia Forestry Commission.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I can say without a doubt, the Georgia Forestry Commission could not achieve its community forestry goals without the extra reach that our partnership with Georgia Tree Council provides us. Being a state agency, we're really good at what we do, but there's some things that are a little harder for us to do as a government agency. Having such a strong partner like Georgia Tree Council really helps just the entire movement of urban forestry be a little more nimble and reach a little further. Georgia is a rapidly urbanizing and rapidly changing state. A lot of towns that were once small, out-of-the-way towns all of a sudden are experiencing tremendous growth. Unfortunately, what comes along with that a lot of times is tree removal from development pressure. So we really hope that we can, that's one of the biggest things that we can do for communities is help stem that tide of tree loss and have responsible and sustainable development moving forward.
Exactly.
And I can say for sure, you know, I work with a lot of other states and Georgia's Urban Forest Council, y'all, the Georgia Tree Council, is one of the leaders in the country, one of the strongest that I've encountered. And, you know, I think the partnership and the momentum we built together stems from the support of elected officials in our state that even further stems from the support of the general public for forestry in general, but then urban and community forestry is a subset of that. So, I mean, we all know, well, not we all, but we all at GFC know that the number one industry in the state is forestry, $42 billion of economic impact. Urban and community forestry generates over $6 billion of economic impact in the state each year. So We're not talking small numbers. We're talking, you know, a bigger industry than a lot of others that maybe make the news more often. But I think the support that the state's shown us and the Georgia Tree Council, I think it's going to help keep all that going.
I think homeowners want trees. Homeowners and business owners are a lot more aware of what trees bring to their lives or their businesses. Studies have shown, I love that phrase, studies have shown that businesses that have trees and landscaping around them have more customers. There's just something about that draw of that green environment that brings people through their front door. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, statistics out there that prove that people want trees. And so we have endeavored over these years to bring that information to developers and decision makers as they grow their projects. You know, the first idea that they might have is to remove the trees. We try to get that information to them that people want trees and people need trees.
Yeah, and again, the intersectionality, you know, my partner has her background in sociology. And I always love all that intersection that I find between the field of sociology and, for a broader term, maybe social work and community forests. I always love to say that trees don't pick winners and losers. They're going to grow depending on their environment, and they're going to provide those benefits to everyone living adjacent to them. So I always say like trees are kind of like the ultimate environmental social workers sometimes.
Absolutely. And, that's great.
And, you know, the research you mentioned, you know, you're talking about people driving from further, paying more for parking, parking longer, spending more money in businesses, simply have trees out front. Mm-hmm. That all has come out of sociology research.
Yeah.
You know, along some of those same lines, students that can see trees from their classrooms have better test scores and better behavior scores. Even incarcerated individuals that mm-hmm. can see green space from their cells have less violent offenses while they're in their rehabilitation
exactly.
programs, all that.
Patients in hospital rooms recover from surgery quicker and need less pain medication if they can see trees from their window. Even a picture, a poster, a painting of a tree helps, but there's nothing like the real thing. Yeah, there's just this deep, deep connection between people and trees. They've also done studies in like apartment complexes that might have trees around them. People are more social if there's green space with trees. They connect. There's more of a community.
And I don't know if we have time for an anecdote or a story, but as far as the businesses having trees, one item sometimes that does provide some pushback to front trees in front of businesses is maybe
signage,
signs,
yeah.
things like that. I won't say what city, but the arborist did something pretty crafty. They would place 15 and 30 gallon potted trees in the parking spots in front of buildings that did not have trees, leave them there for a couple, few weeks, people would get used to it, and then go in the night and move the tree. And then everyone kind of was like, oh, that was nice having a tree there. So then there becomes that effort from the downtown development core to, hey, let's facilitate having some dirt and some space for some trees
exactly.
to be out here. Thought that was a pretty cool way just to help demonstrate that need.
Yeah, Pete, you miss when the trees are gone, you miss them. That was a clever thing to do.
I used to take I had a whole catalog of before and after development photos, and it started to make me sad.
Yeah, and you know, we could go on and on about trees and stormwater management and flooding in cities and how when there's too much hard space, you know, concrete and asphalt, the water has nowhere to go. And so trees and green space have to be there. Otherwise, people can't live in these cities that don't have somewhere for the rainwater to go. And so trees are nature's engineer. They provide that great service.
Yeah, and I think as, you know, you talked about stormwater management, as those rain events get larger and less frequent and higher volumes at once, and as our extreme heats and extreme temperatures in the summer, which is becoming, you know, a national health emergency in some communities mm-hmm. in the summer, trees can go a long way, a huge long way. One shade tree can cool the temperature down as much as 5 to 10 degrees underneath
exactly.
it. It can reduce your energy bills by 20% and 30% in the summer. So when you start looking at things from that perspective of like a climate change resiliency thing, mm-hmm. trees are all that much more important. So again, that's where we try to come in, both GTC and GFC, just to try to help stem that development tide and be as responsible and sustainable as we can.
Right. All of these topics that we're talking about really do relate back to Georgia Arbor Day, because thank goodness we have this holiday where we, for one day, everybody is thinking about trees.
you know, Arbor Day obviously is a holiday that, many communities celebrate across the state just for the sake of altruism, and it's the right thing to do and plant trees, and it's part of their traditions. But also there's another layer to Arbor Day celebrations. It's a program known as the Tree City USA program, and it's a national recognition program that is administrated by the Arbor Day Foundation, based in Nebraska, where Arbor Day was started. And so the Tree City USA program is a nationwide recognition program where communities can meet certain standards, and then they are designated as being a Tree City USA, one of those standards being an Arbor Day celebration. There's also spinoff programs. There's the Tree Campus USA programs for college campuses. There is the Tree K through 12 campus. There is Tree Line USA for utility companies, of which we have two Tree Line utilities in the state. And we have 21 Tree Campus designated college campuses in the state as well. There's also a new program called Tree Cities of the World, of which we have three cities in Georgia that are on the Tree Cities of the World list. And then also there is a brand new program. It's the Tree Healthcare Campus Program. And we don't have any engaged in Georgia yet, but we're really excited about that. For all those reasons we mentioned, that tree canopy and green space helps to speed recovery from illness and injury, the Arbor Day Foundation said, well, why don't we acknowledge those healthcare campuses and hospitals that are doing that work to provide that green space? So we're really excited to engage with some hospitals on that program in the coming year as well. Man, if you're listening to this, and even if you're hearing this after Georgia Arbor Day season's over, you know, and you want to get involved next year, reach out to Georgia Forestry Commission. Find your local contact. Odds are we know where your community's Arbor Day is, or at least the closest one. You might have to drive to a neighboring city or something, but I've actually seen that. Then everyone goes home from City B back to City A, and they want a big Arbor Day as well. So, again, we can help, usually help network and help people find those opportunities to get involved.
So, yeah, definitely anybody listening to this, we welcome your emails if you would like direction or contact or some kind of guidance on how to get started with your tree leadership in your community. Both of our organizations have a lot of information on our websites that you can download. I know you guys have videos that people can watch.
Lots of videos of our team. I'll apologize in advance if it's the tree care videos. You might have to see and hear some more of me. But the information is sound in the videos. And you're exactly right. I mean, you mentioned both of our websites, almost similar, but Georgia Forestry Commission's is gatrees.org. The Georgia Tree Council is gatreecouncil.org. But also, if you know, we work so much together, find one of us, you'll be able to find the second one for sure. But yeah, you mentioned it, both websites, chock full of information, videos, publications, links, ideas, success stories, grant opportunities. We try to be a full suite service provider to communities for their community forestry needs. So as we're kind of wrapping up today, you know, I'm looking back just when I look at my career and my profession in urban and community forestry, just in the, you know, looking at it as a whole. Again, one of my favorite things I mentioned earlier was getting to meet and learn from so many different people. And I do love the diversity of workforce that is in the urban and community forestry realm in the arboricultural industry. That's a lot of different types of diversity, just backgrounds, personal backgrounds, career history. Gender diversity is a huge part of the urban community forestry world. I feel like it's really well distributed, which, you know, gets me excited because I think the next Georgia Forestry Forum podcast episode is going to be highlighting women in forestry and women in arboriculture, perhaps, and women in natural resources and science. So really excited to hear about that. And again, highlight some folks that, you know, we might not know have these kinds of jobs in these professions. And with that, I think we'll try to wrap up. Mary Lynn, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I enjoyed this so much. Anytime you want to sit and talk about trees again, let me know. Thank you for folks listening, and let us know if the Georgia Tree Council could be of assistance.
Awesome. Thanks, Mary Lynn. Thanks, y'all, for listening.